I want you to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. I'll read it aloud. Follow along if you would in your Bible as I read. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. Paul says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." I want us to notice especially, when you receive the word of God, you received it not as the word of man, but as the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. I want to preach about our divine resource. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for the time spent together already, for the singing, the praying, the giving. Lord, the fellowship that we can enjoy because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray now as we take this time to ponder, to meditate, to look at the Word of God, that Father, you'd calm our hearts and minds and help us to focus for the next few minutes on what you have for us from your Holy Bible. God, we pray that you would take your Word and apply it to each and every heart according to our need. Examine our hearts. Father, challenge us this morning in a way that only you can do, and help us to be open to that challenge. We pray especially should there be one today in our midst that's never been born again, that's never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior and gotten the forgiveness of sins, that Father, today would be the day that you'd open their eyes, they would see the light, they'd come to Christ for eternal life and salvation. Father, speak to that heart especially. For we that are saved, may we take the example of the Thessalonians. Father, may we see their devotion to the Word of God and what it did for them. And Father, understand it can do the same thing for us. Regardless of the day and the age we live in and the society around us, Father, your word is still able. And Lord, we pray that you would remind us of these things today as we look at your word. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The church at Thessalonica had a special place in the heart of the Apostle Paul. I want us to look at a few verses here at the beginning chapters of 1 Thessalonians. But look in chapter 1, if you would, in verse number 3. And let's see this affection that Paul had for this very special church. The Apostle Paul planted churches in many, many cities. And he loved all of them. But the church at Thessalonica had a special relationship with Paul. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul says this, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, and labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, and in the sight of God and our Father." When Paul thought about the church at Thessalonica, though he was not there, he's writing from a distance to them, it warmed his heart to think of them. He was excited when he remembered the things that they did that challenged his heart and life. But can I say this? It was not easy to be a Christian in Thessalonica. You'd say, well, yeah, of course they had the work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope, because they probably had the whole town converted and everybody was sympathetic to what they were doing and everybody was on board. No, the church in Thessalonica suffered hardship more or exceeding most of the other churches that Paul ever established or preached in. And yet this church was a laboring and working church in spite of its affliction. Notice some key words again here in chapter 1. Look at chapter 1 and verse 6. Paul says, "You became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction." The church at Thessalonica suffered for their reception of the word of God. They were mocked. They were ridiculed. They were physically afflicted because of their dedication to the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet in the midst of that, Paul could say, "I remember these good things about you." Look, if you would, down in chapter 2 and verse number 14. And notice Paul says in chapter 2 and verse 14, "For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which is in Judea, which are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews." You remember in the book of Acts what the disciples suffered at the hand of the Jews, the beatings, the chastisements, the imprisonments. Paul says to the church at Thessalonica, though it's in a Gentile city, that they had suffered at the hands of the authorities there, just as the Jewish disciples had at the hands of the Pharisees and Sadducees. So this church was a afflicted and suffering church. Look down in verse 15, noticing some words here about this church. Verse 15, it says, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us. Talking about the powers in Thessalonica. So this is an afflicted church. It's a suffering church. It's a persecuted church. Notice also in verse 15, and they please not God and are contrary to all men. These dear, precious believers in the city of Thessalonica had to endure and suffer all these hardships for one reason: their devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ and their devotion to the Bible as the Word of God. You know, you can't separate Jesus Christ from His Word. Both are bread. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Jesus also said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. The Bible tells us that the Scriptures are a guide to our feet and a light to our path. There are similarities between Jesus Christ and what the Bible is. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the Bible tells us, Jesus said in John chapter 17 and verse 17, He prayed to the Father and said, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. The way that we regard our Bible is the way we regard our Savior. The way we regard our Bible is the way we regard our Savior. Now, I'm not examining your life. I'm asking you to do a self-examination. How do you regard the Word of God? Is it a part of our daily life? Is it a part of our weekly existence? Is it part of our regular communication with God? Are we in the Bible daily? I'll simply say this. You can say as long as the day is long and as you want to, I love the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't love His Word, you don't love Him. Because they are synonymous. In fact, they're so synonymous that they are both called the Word of God. The Bible is, the Scriptures are called the Word of God with a small W. Jesus Christ is the Word of God according to John chapter 1 with a capital W. They are both synonymous one with the other. And the way we treat one is the way we treat the other. Folks, when we neglect this book, we're neglecting the God of this book. When we don't read the Scriptures daily and have it a part of our life, we're rejecting God. We're neglecting God daily and a part of our life. The important thing for reading the Bible daily is because it sets your mind on the Lord Jesus Christ. When you get up in the morning, if you get up in the morning, flip on the television and watch some news station and hear what drastic catastrophe happened last night, the rest of your day is going to be shaped by what you heard that morning. You're going to be walking around telling everybody, did you hear what happened? Did you hear what went on last night? When we get up in the morning and spend some time in the Word of God, that sets the tone for our day. And then we walk around saying, boy, wasn't it a blessing what I read in the Scriptures this morning. God really opened my eyes and gave me something. What a blessing it was to start my day. And if you've never done that, you have no idea what I'm talking about. And you think that's a foreign precept. Oh, preacher, that doesn't work. You don't know because you've never done it. It changes the outlook in life. This church in Thessalonica had that outlook. And when the affliction came, they were prepared. When the suffering came, they were ready. When the persecution arose, they had prepared themselves by saturating themselves with the Word of God. When folks around them were contrary, you've never seen that before, have you? When as a Christian, all around them was contrary and against them. Can I say, folks, we're living in a world that's going that direction very quickly. The world has always been against God and the Word of God. I understand that. But we're living in a very antagonistic society now to the things of God. And it's only going to get worse. And the only way we're going to be prepared for what comes is by having the Word of God when those around us get contrary. And yet in the midst of these things, those four words, affliction, suffering, persecuted, contrary, in the midst of that, can I say that the church at Thessalonica, the people did not go around with sad faces? They did not go around dejected and depressed. They did not walk around with an oh, woe is me attitude. In fact, look here at chapter 1 again and verse number 6. The Bible says, you received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Did you know in the midst of affliction, you can have joy? Did you know in the midst of suffering, you can have joy? In the midst of persecution, you can have joy? How does it happen? Because they received the word of God. That's what it says in chapter 1 and verse 6. And it tells us again that in chapter 2 and verse number 13, that we read. When you received the word of God. The key to their success as believers. The key to their joy and their happiness, even in the time of affliction, was how they received the word of God. All that which is so vitally important to us, but so misunderstood by the world. Look, if you would, here in chapter 2, down in verse 19 and 20. Notice these things about affliction and suffering are surrounded by the verses that talk about joy and happiness. In chapter 2, in verse number 19, the Bible says, "For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? For ye are our glory and our joy." This world's tough. This world wears you out. Living from day to day in this world the way it is a grind. But in the midst of it, you can have joy and glory and happiness and peace, but it comes from one place. It comes from the Word of God. You say, "No, preacher, it comes from the Lord Jesus Christ." Aren't they synonymous? Didn't we just say they're both bread? Didn't we say they're both light? They're both truth? And the thing that gets us through the difficult times in this ever-increasing hostile environment that we live in, understanding the Bible tells us that they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The thing that gets us through is the Word of God. And here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 13, I want you to notice three things that Paul says that they did concerning the Word of God. This church had been founded on the Word of God. The same Word which brings us salvation enables us to live in the midst of suffering, persecution, and contrariness. And Paul was thankful for the church at Thessalonica because they had the right attitude toward the Word of God. You know, again, I'll say this, and I know I've said it recently quite a few times, but I'm always amazed when I am studying, when I am reading, when I am researching, the number of Christian quote-unquote scholars, and I don't like that term from the very beginning, that give the Bible nothing more than a human element. That even when they're commenting on the Scriptures, we saw this when we studied Sunday school just a little while ago, talking about Jesus cleansing the temple. And the account of John given at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, Matthew, Mark, and Luke telling us the same thing happened at the end of Jesus' ministry. And some of the commentators that I read saying, well, John just got it wrong. John took the event that obviously happened at the end because Mark, Luke, and John said that, or Matthew, Mark, and Luke said that, and John put it in the wrong place. And I sit back and I think, reasonably intelligent men that seem to respect the Word of God can make stupid statements. And say that John got it wrong. I mean, John wrote by inspiration of God. It wasn't John remembering how the thing was put together. It was God, in essence, dictating and telling him, using his personality and his vocabulary, but saying, "John, write this down." And those that regard the Bible as nothing more than a human element are missing the point. Because nothing humanly written could get you through persecution. Nothing humanly written can get you through times of suffering. Now, I like quotes by Vance Havner. I like quotes by Bob Jones Sr. I like quotes. But those things aren't going to sustain us when the going gets tough. It's going to be the Word of God. And Paul said to this church at Thessalonica that was enduring all these trials and tribulations, he said, "But you have received the Word." Notice, first of all, this morning of the three things, we're going to say they appreciated the Word. They appreciated the Word. The Bible says in verse 13 that they did not receive it as the Word of men, but as it was the Word of God. The Bible is different from any other book in its origin, in its character, in its content, and in its cost. You know, the men that wrote the words on the pages of the Word of God, Many of them paid for it with their lives. Many of them paid for their service to God by imprisonment. Many of them were martyrs for the cause of Christ. In fact, even many of the translators of our precious King James Bible sacrificed everything they have for the cause of Christ. They weren't the modern day Christians sitting in the air conditioned office with the coffee pot and the pop machine with their feet caught up and all these Greek manuscripts in front of them. They were men who had, even if they had not themselves suffered persecution, had family members or friends that did. And they knew the value of the Word of God. We live in a society, even in Christianity, that has been so diluted, that now they accept anything as the Word of God, no matter how many verses are missing, words are missing, phrases are missing, words have been changed, and in their stupor, their Christianity, they just say, well, it doesn't really matter. The church at Thessalonica, those folks there, had a value on the Word of God. They appreciated its Word. We're not going to have time to look at these references, and they're going to be familiar, but you might want to jot them down. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16, a very familiar verse, which says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. When the Bible says all Scripture was given by inspiration of God, it means exactly what we said, that though John had his own personality and his own vocabulary, though Matthew had his own personality as a Jew and his vocabulary, though Mark as a Gentile, Mark had a certain vocabulary reaching the Romans, as we saw when we studied the Gospel of Mark. All of them, God used them and their vocabulary and their IQ and their knowledge and their temperament. God used them, but the words that they wrote on paper were not their own words. They were the words of God. It was God speaking through them. So that, folks, when you and I sit down and read the Bible in the morning and we're reading across these verses, we're not reading the words of men. We're not reading the thoughts of John or Paul or Mark. We're reading the very words of God. And the Bible says that these men in Thessalonica, these believers there, that when they read it, they recognized it wasn't the words of men, but it was the words of God. In 2 Peter chapter 1, again, we'll not turn there, but 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, the Bible says that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. All right? Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The words that were penned in Scripture were the words of God. That's why the Bible says at the end of the book of Revelation, don't add to them. Don't take away from them. Don't mess with them. They are the words of God. And as God spoke to men and men penned it down, it is the writing of God, not merely of men. And the church at Thessalonica, when they heard the word of God, received it, not as the word of men, but as in truth, the word of God. According to Psalm chapter 19, verse 7 to 9, God's word is right and pure and perfect. You know, there's nothing else you're going to read that's right and pure and perfect 100% of the time. Now you can get some good things. You can get devotional books. You can get scripture books. You can get all kinds of things. And they'll be good. And most of the time they'll be pure. But if they're written by men and men alone, they'll never be perfect. They'll never match the precious Word of God. You and I need to understand that our Bible is what connects us to our Savior. Our Bible is what connects us to God. It's better than food. Now, I'm speaking to a bunch of Baptists, and I didn't get one single amen out of that. Our Bible is better than bread. Job said in Job chapter 23 and verse 12, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. That's someone who had an appreciation for the Word of God. How about this? Try this. Don't eat dinner at night unless you've spent some time reading the Word of God. Now, I would say don't eat breakfast in the morning, but I don't want to torture you. Sometimes folks get up and your feet hit the floor running and you're going, and sometimes that's just the way it is. Now, again, the best way is to start your day in the Word of God. But at least this, before you go to bed at night, saying, I'm not eating my dinner unless I've spent some time in the Word of God. I'll not pick up the newspaper. I'll not turn on the television unless I've spent some time in the Word of God. It's more valuable than our food. It's more valuable than money. Yes, it's more valuable than money. The Word of God is. Money won't get you through persecution. Money won't get you through suffering. Money won't get you through folks being contrary and those things around you. But the psalmist said in Psalm 119 that God's Word was more to him in verse 14 than all riches. He said in verse number 72 of Psalm 119 that the Word of God was worth more than thousands of gold and silver. What would you rather have? The winning lottery ticket or the Word of God? And I'm talking about if, you know, I know you say, well, if I won the lottery, I could go buy all the Bibles. No, I'm saying if you had a choice between the two, which one is it that you'd take? David said simply this, it's worth more than thousands of gold and silver. In verse 127, he said, it's worth more than fine gold. In verse 162, he said, it's even greater than great spoil. David appreciated the value of the Word of God. Not only is it better than food and money, but it's better, are you ready for this one? It's better than sleep. The Word of God is better than sleep. Psalm 119 verse 148 says, mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. You know, the psalmist spent some nights probably carrying burdens or maybe rejoicing so much in the Lord that he couldn't put his Bible down. Have you ever had those moments? I'm glad to say I've had those. I'm sad to say I don't have them very often. The moments where I just can't put the Bible down. You know, I've read some other books written by human beings that are so intriguing and so well written that we call them page turners. And you just can't put them down. You get to the end of the one chapter and you're just compelled to start the next one because it's so well written. All that we would have that mindset and that attitude about the precious Word of God. That we would love it so much that we hate to put it down at night. We hate to close its cover even when we're putting our head on the pillow at night. We have that esteem and value for the Word of God. The Bible says that the church at Thessalonica appreciated the Word. They received it not as the Word of man, but as it was in truth, the very words of God. If we're going to be victorious in our Christian life, we must appreciate the Word. Then secondly, not only did they appreciate the Word, here's our $5 word for the day, they appropriated the Word. They appropriated the Word. You know what the word appropriate means? It means to take in, to acquire. That's what appropriation is, to acquire something. And here it's literal. They literally took it in. Notice it says at the end of verse number 13, which effectually worketh also in you which believe. The Word of God has an ability to do things that nothing else can do. We again talked about this in the Sunday school hour, that the disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. In the time of their challenge, in the time of their bewilderment, in the time of their excitement over Jesus cleansing the temple, the Bible says that as the disciples beheld that and saw that, they remembered what the scriptures had said, the zeal of thine house. All the way from back Psalm 69, they remembered what the scriptures had said. The Bible is able to come in and is able to absorb into our system and be there when we need it. That's what the church at Thessalonica had found out, that because of the persecution and tribulation, they weren't overcome by it because they had prepared for it by receiving the Word of God. They appreciated it. They appropriated it. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 9, Jesus said this, who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. Now, if you have ears this morning, then hear. Hear the Word of God. That's also the same challenge that was given to all seven of the churches in the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and 3. From Ephesus all the way to the church at Laodicea, when the Lord spoke or wrote to each of the churches, he concluded each of those letters by saying, he that hath ears, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. We that have ears need to hear the Word of God. Take heed that you hear. Use every opportunity to hear the Word of God. I don't know what you listen to throughout the day. If you're in a place where you can listen to things, or maybe the way your life is lived, you don't have that opportunity. But the more that you can get the things of the Word of God around you from day to day and moment to moment, the more it will encourage your life. We have been playing at home the last couple days when we're around the house a radio station called Final Fight Bible Radio. And I highly recommend it. Just type it into your computer and let it play in the house all throughout the day. You'll hear preaching. You'll hear singing. You'll hear testimonies of salvation. And it will get your mind focused on the right things. If you put on W-I-L-E, if you put on, and that's the only four-letter one I know. I don't know what the others, other than ESPN, but that's a whole different story. But when you turn these different things on, and if that's what you listen to throughout the day, it's not necessarily evil and wicked, but if you weigh the two, which one do you think is doing you more good? If you take the secular stations and listen to them all day, or you take some religious broadcast and listen, and we've got radio stations, 88.1, 94.3, 89.5. We've got the stations that we can reach around here and listen to that as opposed to the other things. And it's definitely going to prepare us more for the life that's ahead of us as believers and Christians. I'm not even going to go there. I was going to quote some words from some popular songs, but I'm not even going to do that. So, they appropriated the word. They took it in. Take heed that you hear. Not only that, but Jesus said in Mark chapter 4 and verse 24, He said, take heed what you hear. And that's what we're talking about. Take heed what you listen to. You are responsible for what you listen to. Nobody else controls what you allow to come into your ears. Whether it's the conversation of the world, whether it's the entertainment of the world, whatever it is. And this world's entertainment is just getting sicker and sicker by the day. The Bible says, take heed what you hear. So take heed that you hear, take heed what you hear. Then in Luke chapter 8 and verse 18. Luke 8:18, as if Jesus hadn't said enough about this, He says, take heed how you hear. Take heed that you hear. Take heed what you hear. Take heed how you hear. I think the Lord's interested in what we listen to. I think He's encouraging us to saturate ourselves with the Word of God. You can't, I'll recommend this, when you're driving down the road at 65 miles an hour on the interstate, don't read your Bible. All right, that could be as bad as texting. That's not the time to read your Bible, but you can turn on the radio. You can have CDs. You can listen to something that doesn't distract your vision from the road and yet still be doing something that benefits. My thought here is the church at Thessalonica was not prepared for the afflictions and persecutions and suffering because they were wrapped up in the things of Thessalonica and that world. But they were focused on the Word of God. They appreciated it and they appropriated it. They took it into themselves. It says in verse 13, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. They appreciated the word. They appropriated the word. Then thirdly and lastly, and I hate to say most importantly, but they applied the word. They applied the word. It said in verse 13, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. It worketh. The Bible tells us not to be hearers of the word only, but to be doers of the word. If we come to church on a Sunday morning and we hear the preacher and we hear the Sunday school lesson, then we go out the door and get around the wrong people, the wrong crowd, the wrong environment. And instead of us affecting it, it affects us. We're being corrupted. We're being influenced. We're not applying. We need to apply the Word of God. The Word which worketh in them. They obeyed the Word by faith. And the Word went to work in their lives. Why do we come to church on a Sunday morning? On a Sunday night? On a Wednesday night? You know why we do? To get as much of the Word of God into us as we can possibly get. I've said this before. Some folks say, will you show me in the Bible where it says you're supposed to go to church Sunday morning and Sunday evening and Wednesday evening? No, I can't show you that in the Bible. I can't show you Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. What I can show you is Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, and then Sunday morning. I can show you that in the Bible, but I can't show you Sunday morning. You know, most folks, if they show me where it's those three services, they're looking for an excuse to get out of the three. Whereas the Bible says, no, it's not three, it's every day in the temple. Every day going to worship the Lord. Every day hearing the scriptures taught. That makes a difference in our life. And the more that we receive it, the more we can apply it. The more of the other things that interfere with it, the less free course that it has. They applied the word to their life. It's not enough just to appreciate the Bible. Lots of folks appreciate the Bible. Lots of folks that don't live it appreciate it. Lots of it that have no time for God will give lip service to the Bible. It's good to appreciate it, but it's not enough. It's good to appropriate it. It's good to appropriate the Word of God, to get it in our heart. But we've not really done it all until we have applied it. To come and to get the Word of God. Folks, if nothing else at Bible Baptist Church, we're going to get the Word of God. We're going to be in it Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I mean, we're in Revelation Wednesday night, or Revelation on Sunday night. Wednesday nights we're in New Testament survey. Sunday school, we're on the encounters of Christ. Sunday morning, we're on different topics. Every Sundays we preach on it. We're getting the Word of God into us. But it's not going to do any good if we don't go out and apply it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I remember back when I was in high school, one of my very best friends through elementary, junior high, and into the beginning of high school, he was my best friend. And we did everything together. We played ball together, played hockey together. We went places together. I was at his house, he was at my house. We were the best of friends. I didn't even know that he went to church every Sunday. I had no idea that his mother was a Sunday school teacher in their church. I had no idea that they were quote unquote Christian. And if you'd have asked me by the things that my friend and I did, and again, we're elementary, junior high, we're not doing wicked, terrible things, but his language, his behavior, I never would have guessed that. You know why? Because you can go hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it, and if you don't apply it and practice it, it does absolutely no good. We've got to apply the Word of God to our life. To have it come in here and not affect the rest of us means that we're just letting it go in one ear and out the other again. We need to apply it. That's what church is all about. That's what we're here for this morning. The emphasis is on the Word of God. The emphasis is on the people that are here. I am conscious every week as I'm preparing and praying about what to preach on Sunday. I am conscious of the fact of who I'm going to be preaching to and saying, Lord, give me something that would be a blessing. Give me something that'll be a challenge. Give me something that'll be encouragement for the particular group that's here. I'm thinking of you all week long because I want to have the right message from God to deliver for His honor and glory. You know, some churches aren't geared for that. That's not where the thought is. The thought is for the presentation. The thought is for the entertainment. The thought is for these other different things. Can I read you this? This is kind of, I don't know if this is humorous, sad, I'm not sure what it is, but this is St. John's Lutheran Church. And this is not around here, I don't believe. But St. John's Lutheran Church, 116 North 7th Avenue, will conduct a community service for pets and animals. What kind of sermon do you preach to them? A community service for pets and animals to receive God's blessing at the Sunday morning service. Parents and children can bring pets of all types for the blessing or bring tags, collars, or memorabilia of deceased pets to bless their memory. This service will take place at 11 a.m. at the St. John's Courtyard on Market Street as part of the 10:30 a.m. service. Now, I hope you understand that's kind of way out there. I mean, that's not the average problem. That's not the average thing. But that's what churches are claiming is worship service. You know what worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ is? It's exalting His Word. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 138 and verse 2, I will worship toward thy holy temple, for thou hast exalted thy word above thy name. When we are looking at the Word of God, we are looking in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we're reading the Word of God, we're hearing the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been reading, Aaron and I have been reading at home, a book that Dr. John Hamblin gave us. And it's a book of his sermons. And when you're reading his sermons, the torturous part is you can hear his voice when you're reading it. Those of you that have heard Brother Hamblin, we've had him many times, and when you read his phrases and his wording, you can hear his voice gets in your head when you're reading it. And it's either a blessing or scary, depending on how you look at that. But the same thing is true of the Word of God. When we're reading the Word of God, we are hearing the voice of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul commended this church at Thessalonica because they appreciated the Word, they appropriated the Word, and they applied the Word. The question is this morning to us individually, as well as the church, how are we doing with the Word of God? It will determine our outlook. It will determine how we handle things. Why be reactionary and have an affliction or suffering or contrary hit us, and then we run to the Bible looking for an escape? Why not go to the Bible every day ahead of time? Then when those things hit us, we're prepared and we're ready. God's divine resource, the precious Word of God, given to every believer to prepare ourselves for the difficult times that are ahead. Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.